My name is Amy Gibson Thomas. I am 61 years old. Today is July 11th, 2019. I'm recording this interview in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I'm speaking with my friend Christina Shannon for the StoryCorps Stonewall Out Loud project on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion in Greenwich Village. I have known Christina for a few years. She is a very wise and impressive transgender woman.
My name is Christina Eileen Shannon. I'm 66 years old.
Christina, please tell me a little bit about yourself. When and where were you born?
I was born August 5th, 1952 in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was raised in Chelsea, Michigan for the first 17 years of my life.
What was your family like? How many siblings do you have, and what are their ages and genders?
I have one older brother. He's 6 years older than me. He's adopted, but I'm not.
How did you first begin to realize your gender identity?
I was aware, from preschool days, three to four years old, somewhere around that, because my best friends were other girls. I don't have an actual memory of that time, but there's anecdotal evidence from others that I learned about this from them. My first memory is actually from 6 years old, and that's not a very pleasant memory, but I was identifying as female with that first memory.
Was your non-conforming gender identity apparent to others when you were a child?
It's possible, although I doubt if they really knew what was going on. I think they just knew that I was different somehow. My mother definitely treated me in a way that I think she was trying to do her best with me, but she kept punishing me whenever I wasn't acting masculine enough. And I was assaulted when I was 6 years old by a homophobic predator more than twice my age. And one of the things he said to me as he was attacking me was that God sent him to punish me for not being a real boy. And I thought that that was the reason why he was calling me certain kinds of names, like sissy and girly girl and things like that, while he was attacking me, because God had told him about me. Because after all, he said God had sent him to punish me. And that convinced me that he knew that I was a girl. Years later, I figured out that that probably wasn't the case.
How about when you were a teen?
Well, by that point, I had learned that it was not safe for me to be myself around others. I bent over backwards trying to fit in as a boy. I didn't always succeed. But again, I don't think most of the people around me, especially peers, had any conception of transsexuality at all back in those days. So they knew I was different, but they didn't have a way of putting a finger on what that difference was.
Do you have memories from your youth when you were treated differently due to your gender identity?
Well, again, I was always odd duck out. I didn't fit in with boys. I wasn't allowed to hang out with girls, so I was pretty much a loner. But I got teased a lot, taunted. I wasn't the only one, but a lot of homophobic jibes, that kind of thing.
What do you remember about the Stonewall Rebellion of 1969?
Well, I didn't hear about it until a number of years after the fact. I grew up in a small Midwestern town. There was no news coverage that I recall of the event at that time. But I did hear about it later.
How about the Pride marches of 1970?
Yeah, I do remember those. There was coverage of that I saw, and I was very, very impressed with how brave they were, but I didn't really connect it directly with me. I thought the gay pride parades were mostly gay men, and I knew I wasn't a gay man, so I didn't make a direct connection, but nonetheless, I was very impressed with them for being as courageous as they were.
A lot was going on in 1969. 60s counterculture the civil rights movement, and the anti-Vietnam War movement. How do you think these movements are related?
Well, they were all kind of tarred with the same brush by the status quo on the right. That alone kind of tied them together. But these were movements by people who'd been marginalized, people who danced to a different rhythm, and people who were progressive thinkers. My parents were advocates for the civil rights movement. They were anti-war during the Vietnam War era. They supported my brother in being the first one from Michigan to evade the draft by leaving the country. We were very politically aware starting in the mid-60s, and even before that with the Ban the Bomb movement. And so I was very politicized from a fairly young age, early teens, basically.
In your view, has the LGBT community had to compete for recognition, or have these movements helped each other?
Well, I think the gay liberation movement, that wasn't in direct competition with the women's movement and the anti-war movement and civil rights movement at the time, at least in my mind. Some people may have saw them as being radically different, but I didn't. I saw this as being people who had been left out of mainstream society fighting for the right of recognition. The tea part of the LGBT movement, that really didn't come along until much, much later. In fact, there were those who advocated to exclude us from being part of the LGBT movement. They feared that we would delegitimize their movement. So we didn't really get that kind of recognition until many years later, decades later, in fact.
Stonewall got attention because it was the first time gay people had collectively fought back against discriminatory police tactics. Do you think the violence that resulted was necessary for launching the gay pride movement?
I don't think that we can really look in terms of necessity as much as inevitability. The police were harassing people at Stonewall and other gay bars, or so-called gay bars. The specific harassment, though, was targeted against cross-dressers, drag queens, and transgender folk. There was an ordinance in New York that you had to wear at least one article of male clothing, and they were harassing anyone who was presenting as female, making them strip down and that kind of thing to prove that they had one article of male clothing on. That's really what sparked the whole thing off.
Tell me about the first time that you came out as a transgender person. Whom did you tell and why? What was the result?
Well, the first time was in the mid-70s to the woman I had married a few years prior to that in 71. She was not all that thrilled with the idea at first, but she eventually came around to at least accepting that I needed to be myself part of the time. So she agreed to let me present as myself around her in private. But she said she would divorce me if anyone else found out, or if I ever went out dressed in women's clothes with makeup on, or if anyone else found out my actual gender. The next people who I came out to were my parents and my brother. My brother had a fairly neutral response. My mother wrote back a horrible letter in which she said I was going to burn in hell forever, and she disowned me. The next one I came out to was a marriage counselor, and that resulted in my getting a separate therapist for my gender issues, who unfortunately in 79, they were still using the DSM-2. They didn't even have a designation for transgenderism. And he was trained to treat me like I had a mental illness and a sexual fetish. And he actually told me once that I needed to broaden my definition of masculine so that I fit within that parameter, which of course is just ridiculous. I confronted him about whether he'd ever authorize hormones much less surgery for me. He said no clinician in their right mind would authorize me. Between that, my spouse threatening to divorce me, and my parents already disowning me, I decided that if I couldn't transition, that I could at least try to be the person who others wanted me to be. So I went back in the closet in 1980, and I stayed there for 30 years.
Who was your first love, your first relationship?
Well, my first crush was the boy that my mother picked out for me to be my new best friend when we turned, just before I turned 5 years old, because I was disallowed from playing with my girlfriends anymore at that age. And when we were 12, I had a crush on him, and he noticed that I had feelings for him, and he kind of ditched me at that point. The next person, I had other crushes along the way, but the next person who I actually fell in love with was the woman that I ended up marrying, trying to fix myself, for lack of a better way of putting it. I thought by marrying her, maybe that would make me want to be a man. That didn't work, of course. but I stayed married to her for almost 41 years.
I have a genderqueer son. What wisdom can you share about gender roles, presentations, and identity for non-binary people?
Okay, well, there's a lot of confusion, not just with cisgender people, but some transgender people as well, or non-binary people, about the difference between gender roles, presentations, and identity. Gender roles and gender presentations are social constructs, and they change from society to society, culture to culture. Gender identity is who you are at the very basic core, and it's not a learned trait. You're born with that identity. Now, that identity can be influenced to some degree by the culture you live in, but the core identity remains the same. If there's nothing else that I would want to impress upon someone who's non-binary, especially if they're just starting out exploring their gender, it would be that difference.
How has your life as a woman been different from what you imagined?
Oh, boy. One of the first things that happened that I kind of intellectually thought would be a possibility, but I wasn't prepared for it, was the level of misogyny that I've experienced. I had a career in a very masculine-dominated industry for 31 years, and I transitioned 28 years into that career, and even more than the transphobia, and there was transphobia amongst my fellow workers and employers, it was the misogyny that really took me by surprise. One of my fellow workers even came up to me fairly early on. He actually said, "You used to be really smart. What the heck happened to you?" And it was because I was presenting as a woman, and I had explained to everybody that I really am a woman, and he believed me, but his misogyny got the better of him, so he made that comment. There's other things too, but they tend to be a little more pleasant. For one thing, I had always wanted to be close to other women, but I really didn't understand the sisterhood that so many women actually have with each other, which, you know, I'm still learning about this through experience, but I think a lot of it has to do with innate trust that women have for each other, that we don't pose an imminent threat or danger to one another the way that, you know, we have to be wary of men, especially men we don't know that well, who, you know, might want to abuse us, might want to mistreat us, might fantasize sexually about us, or disrespect us in some other way, and it's fairly common. But usually, woman to woman, let me put it this way. I think I found this huge relief The first time I noticed that, as I was walking down the street and another woman was approaching, she didn't scoot to the other side of the sidewalk, much less cross the street, and she looked at me and she actually smiled, and I of course smiled back, and I felt like I finally belong. And that was a huge surprise to me.
Have things changed for the LGBTQ community over the past 50 years?
Oh my, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Even for the transgender part of the LGBTQ community, I would say there have been more changes in the last 5 years for us than there were in the last 50 years put together. And for the lesbian, gay, and bi community, they're even further along than we are as far as recognition and gaining their rights against discriminatory practices. I don't think it's going to take us as long to win that kind of recognition and for laws to be enacted to protect us. Currently in the state of Michigan and many other states, there are no protections for members of my community in employment, housing, education, medical treatment, none of it. If we're discriminated against, we have absolutely no legal recourse. I do see that changing and changing soon. At least I'm hopeful.
Do you experience discrimination and harassment today?
Well, it's usually not as much on an institutional level, although I've experienced that as well. Every once in a while, an individual will tell me I'm using the wrong bathroom, for example, which is just annoying at most at this point in my life. I have had people out me who had no business disclosing my personal information, who in doing so put my security and actually my life at risk. I was fired from my 31-year career as a result of transitioning on the job. I've lost housing as a result of being transgender. So yeah, I have experienced it, but I would have to say that in the last 5 years, I've experienced much less of that.
So things have improved.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How do you hope life will be different for the LGBTQ community 50 years from now?
Well, 50 years from now, I'm hoping that things have evolved to the point where we don't think in terms of the LGBTQ community. My hope is that we will be part of the mainstream to such a degree that that particular distinction is no longer necessary. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. 50 years is a long time, and if the backlash against us doesn't hold sway and progress continues to happen, I think it is possible.
If you could give advice to your teenage self, what advice would that be?
Oh my. Well, I'm tempted to say that I would tell her that to be brave, to transition despite everything that is standing in my way. The problem is that in the late 70s, there was no support systems. There was no internet to find out about others like myself. There was just no way that I could have transitioned without having dire consequences. I doubt if I could have found legitimate employment. I probably would have had to rely on either selling drugs or selling myself to survive, and you know, who knows how long I would have been able to keep from being arrested. So I don't really think that's the advice I would give myself as a teenager. What I might tell my teenage self, though, is that you have a right to be yourself, even if you can't show it for a while, and be patient.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, I think the thing I'm the most proud of is the generations of transgender and gender nonconforming folk, the generations that have come after mine, who each generation is showing more courage and more determination to defy anyone who tries to discriminate against them. It's just amazing to me. And, you know, I wish I had had that kind of courage back in the day, but again, it was a different time period. But yeah, I think that's probably the thing I'm the most proud of, is the younger folk who are carrying the torch further than we ever could have in our day.
How do you want to be remembered?
As a decent human being.
Christina, I wanted to thank you for this interview. I have found it very inspiring. I've learned a lot, and I'm so happy you agreed to do it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So we're done recording.